Have you ever lost your keys or something very precious to you where you are searching high and low? Then after some time, you realize that they are just right in front of you. The passage that we want to look today is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. It's a passage that speaks about God's grace that is always available for us, God's grace that is always provided for us, that each and every one of us can live our Christian life with God's grace, and we can continue to please God only through the power and the grace of God that is available for us. A very good morning to each and every one of you who are joining us today. We pray that as we listen to God's word, as we learn from the things that God's word has for us today, that God will continue to be our strength, that His grace will be sufficient in our lives. Let's pray and ask God to be with us as we spend some time looking at His word. Father, we thank You once again, O God, for this beautiful day that You've blessed us with, that we can come together to look at Your word, to read Your word together, Father, to meditate in Your word, and also, Lord, to see who You are, the things of God that You long to do in our lives, the strength that is available for each and every one of us in our journey. Help us, O God, as we listen to Your word. In Jesus' most wonderful name we pray. Amen. The passage that was just read from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. It's a very interesting epistle by the Apostle Paul to the young minister Timothy. You know, Paul was in a very crucial point of his life. He was almost facing the end of his life. But even then, his mind was not about himself, about his suffering or about his pain. He was not even dwelling about the injustice that has befallen him. Instead, we realize that he was just trusting God and knowing that God has placed him at this particular time in history, even in the midst of suffering, he was willing to accept. But Paul, you know, writes this particular important letter where he wants this young minister to turn his attention to others, to the church, to the fellow believers, and also the same note to help this young minister. And so Paul was very concerned about the welfare of the believers, because during the time of Nero's persecution, you know, people were going through a lot of difficulties and challenges. And so in chapter 1, verse 14, he wants this young minister Timothy to guard the gospel. And then when you read in chapter 3, verse 14, you realize he wants him to persevere in it. And in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 2, he says, continue to preach God's word in season and also in out of season. And in lastly, in some of the verses, he also says, if necessary, to suffer for the sake and for the spread of the gospel. And so Paul, in this writing, is just challenging this young man, this young minister, to be aggressive, to be staying focused. And so he compares with certain metaphors, the metaphors of a soldier, an athlete, and even a farmer. When you look at each metaphor or even pictures or illustration that Paul is using here, you know, he's saying, and this is how you need to be, Timothy, in your life. And today when we look at this passage, we want to hear what God has for us to live a life for Him and to glorify in His name. When I look at verse 1 of chapter 2, and this is how Paul starts the verse. He says, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, wonderful way of writing this powerful letter. Paul could have easily said, you know, be strong, right? By believing yourself, about who you are. He could have said, be strong for me, my son. You know, Paul is, in a very profound way, saying, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So Paul says, the source of strength is in grace. Grace is an unmerited favor of God. Grace is a gift, and it is a gift that is given to us. And so he challenges and calls this young man by abiding and resting in the grace that is available in the Lord Jesus Christ. Very significant way Paul writes, and he uses the word in. Perhaps the word in looks very least insignificant, but it's a very important word. The idea is you are remaining within. You are being or remaining within. So Christ is the source. Christ is the one who is able to give you the grace. And grace is always available to Christ. And so Paul is reminding Timothy by saying, God has already empowered you, Timothy. He has already empowered you. He has given you the Holy Spirit. He has given you the gift. And so God wants you to put it into action. He wants you to act and to bring into evidence what God has already empowered you with. And that's what he's challenging this young man. You know, when I look at this particular passage, I think that is what the Word of God is also reminding us. The grace of God is with us. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the grace of God is there. And so God says, you know, just I'm there. I'm my presence is in your life. My favor is upon you. But whether we want to take action, whether we want to live a life, we want to persevere in our Christian life, in our Christian walk for Jesus Christ. Three metaphors which I want to focus today. He's using the metaphors of a soldier, of an athlete, and lastly, a farmer. And when you look at these metaphors, some of the things that comes out, he's speaking about discipline, he's still speaking about hard work, and he's also speaking about single-mindedness. As Christians, and God's grace is available, and he's reminding us that in our Christian life, there's always will be conflict, there will be challenges, there will be difficulties, there will be trials, there will be joyful moments, but God's grace is always available in each and every moment of our life. And we can find strength in God's grace. And as Proverbs chapter 3 verse 6 says, right, in all our ways, we need to acknowledge him and God will direct our path. Let's look at the word that we read today. The first metaphor or illustration Paul is using is the metaphor of a soldier. In other words, he's using the metaphor to speak the idea of the spirit of endurance. You know, every time you look at Paul's writing, you know, you realize Paul loved this metaphor. Many times he used military instructions in his letters, right? It's not surprising, because Paul lived in a time, it was a military stage, and he was in prison. So every time he was able to see soldiers around, and they were tough people, the soldiers, the Roman soldiers in those days were very tough people. They were the toughest, most disciplined, and most resourceful people. In my study, I realized they marched almost 20 miles a day with 50 pounds of gear. That was their daily routine. When there was no war, they were involved in hard labor, hard work, buildings. They were involved in buildings for the society. And so he says, in this particular verse, he says, and so Paul says, he says, join me like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. But Paul says, join me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So when you look at the word, Paul is reminding us that, you know, life Christian life is like a war. We need to be tough, right? In a war. And that's what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. He says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil. Satan is real, my friend. Demons are real. Evil is real. Wickedness is real. And these are the forces behind the scenes of the suffering in this world. And we thank God that God's grace is available for us to win each and every battle that we face in our life. And so we are called to be soldiers. And so Paul reminds each and every one of us to be good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, join with me in verse 3 in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Firstly, he says, you know, suffer hardship. That's the main word that he's using here. In other words, you know, he says you need to suffer evil, you need to suffer trouble, you need to endure injustice, you need to accept your share of unjust evil that is present in this world. You need to endure difficulties, challenges in this world. He says, join with me in this battle. I believe God is also calling us. In a moment like this, many a times in the world that we live, many a times our faith has been attacked. Christians might be looked down or ridiculed or made fun of. But are we willing to be loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we willing to take the hardship and to say, you know, I am a Christian. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And am I willing to sacrifice? And am I willing to fight the battle for the Lord Jesus Christ for the sake of the gospel? And so a good soldier doesn't quit because he's facing a difficult task. He's always prepared to lay down his life for the sake of the gospel because of his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you look at the word also in verse 4, he says that this soldier, he doesn't get distracted by anything. And so he says, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Now, when you look at the difference between a soldier and a citizen, there's a vast difference. An ordinary citizen is like a free agent. He can make his own decisions, use his time as he desires. He can get involved in whatever activities that he wants to. He can pursue whatever that he wants to in his life. He can eat whatever he wants, you know, and whatever he likes to do. He's in control of everything in his life. He is the master of his life. On the other hand, a soldier, he cannot entangle himself in anything that will interfere in his duty. He can't say to his commanding officer, you know, sir, I got something else to do, something important to do. The word of the commander is important to him, and obedience to that word is important. And so he's always ready for the word of the master and he's ready for battle. And so Paul is encouraging us through his word, right? As a soldier, that we must purposefully pursue a single-minded focus on Christ and willing to join fellow believers and Christians in suffering hardship like good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we today single-minded? Are we, can we boldly say that, you know, my focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my goal, my desire. I want to please Him. I just don't want to be living a life which is just contrary to the Word of God. But I just want to pursue what God wants me to pursue. I want to fulfill what God has planned for my life. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 to 14, a very familiar passage to many of us. He says, forgetting what lies behind and reaching toward what lies ahead, I press on, he says, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says, and I'm just pressing on. What are we pursuing today, my friend? Are we distracted? Can we boldly say that, you know, I'm living a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my Savior, and he's also the Lord of my life. Christ is my priority. I want to please my officer, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, let's move on to the metaphor that Paul is using. He's using the metaphor of an athlete. I believe many of us like sports. We like sports, we like basketball and many other games. In verse 5, Paul says, let me read, he says, similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. Let me read it again. He says, similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. You know, Paul is also fond of using athletic illustration in his writing. Right? He uses the word like wrestling, running, exercising, because in those days, the Greeks and the Romans were very fond of sports. They loved sports. And so Paul was using metaphors that were very familiar to the Roman world, to the world that he was living in. And so he's bringing that image to this minister, Timothy, and saying, you know, this is how God's grace is available, and I want you to run this race. And let's look at the way Paul is talking about the athlete, right, in verse 5 of chapter 2, he says, competes as an athlete. In other words, the way Paul is bringing across is an image of an athlete is not on a 100 meters dash, but he's in a marathon. In other words, Paul is using a word where our race is continual, it's ongoing. It's a never-ending competition, my friend. Christian life has to be lived each and every moment, each and every day, in every season of our life, even in difficult times, in good times, in challenging moments, in dark moments of our life, in difficult circumstances, we still run the race. And that's the way Paul is using the word here. And secondly, when you look at the word very carefully, it uses the word competes. Very another interesting and powerful word. You're not just running the race. You're not just walking the race or running the race. You know, the way Paul is using that, you have a motivation to win. That is the motivation that Paul is speaking about. You are determined to do your best. You want to be faithful to the end. You don't want to give up. You don't want to quit. And you are always engaged, running, never-ending competition. It's an ongoing race that Paul is speaking about. And that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he reminds the church again, right, in verses 24 to 26, he says, do you not know that in the race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? He says, yes, all of you are running the race, but only one gets the prize. And he says, run in such a way as to get the prize, my friend. Yes, all of us are running, but are we running our Christian race with a desire to win the race, with a desire to get the prize, which is the Lord Jesus Christ? I think that is important challenge for each and every one of us. And if you read verses 25 to 26, he says, therefore, do not run like someone running aimlessly. And he says, I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. How's our Christian life today? How's our Christian walk? Is there a desire to win? Is there a desire to overcome the many obstacles that we face each and every moment? Is there a desire to be firm? Is there a desire not to give up, to be faithful till the end? And that's what Paul is wanting us to do. And so Paul was able to, boldly say, as he was ending this particular epistle, chapter 4, verse 7, he says, I have fought the good fight. And he says, I finished the race. And he says, I have kept the faith. Dear friends, one day our race will end. Are we able to echo the same words of Paul by saying, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have kept the faith. Lastly, let me look at the last metaphor Paul is saying. And as we looked, grace of God is always available, and we are asked to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to run the race like an athlete, to obey by the rules. And last metaphor, he's using the metaphor of a farmer, where he speaks about the spirit of dependence. Let me read verse 6. He says, the hard-working farmer. In other words, the farmer is not an ordinary man. He's a hard-working person. He's working hard. He labors. He gives his time, his energy, his resources. He says, should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Why is Paul using this particular metaphor? Because, as we know, the New Testament world, particularly during this time, it was a very agricultural society. So the average Israelite in the first century was a farmer. The farmer will have their own plot of land, and so they have to work at every season, because different season they have to, have different crops coming, and so they have to work every season. Different kinds of crops were grown. So the cycle of rain and dry seasons are important, and they know when and how and what are the things that needs to be done. On the same note, if you realize, birds love seeds, right? They love young plants, and so they need to be very careful of such birds. They need to protect the plants, that their harvest will be much more plentiful. And so Paul is just giving an image. Unlike, when you look at the image, unlike the athlete and the soldier, the farmer's life is quite different. He works long hours. They get up early in the morning, they go to the field, right? And they till the fields for several hours before returning home for a morning meal. And after eating, they go back, they return to the fields again. And they work, probably with some hand tools or an ox, right, till dawn, and they'll come back. That's the way, the farmer will be working. They work hard. And many times, they work alone. They work alone, because they want to see the produce. And so Paul is encouraging Timothy by saying, Timothy, you need to walk with Christ. And this walk is a daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Daily faithfulness. Not a Monday faithfulness alone, but Monday, Tuesday, every day of our life. Daily faithfulness is important. And daily dependence, because the farmer depends on good weather. He depends on the rain at the right time. And he's not in control of all these things. It's only God. So he's daily faithful. He's daily dependent on God. And you know, when you look at it, he's doing almost like a routine work every day. Every day he's almost doing that, like the same work. Fields have to be plowed, seeds have to be thrown, right? Soil have to be fertilized, and the weeds have to be, you know, taken, uprooted. Plants have to be protected, they need to be watered. Fences have to be in good shape or good repair. And during harvest time, you know, crops have to be cut and harvested and placed into barns. In those days, there was no tractors. There were no modern labor-saving devices that was available in those days. And so there's a lot of work that is being done. And so Paul says, you know, this is a daily thing that you need to be doing what God wants you to do daily. Some of the daily things we are called to do, I think all of us are familiar with, right? It's just reading God's word, prayer, studying God's word, memorizing, fleeing away from sin, pursuing holiness, witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, many times, you know, what happens, we say, these are mundane things. And some of, and I've heard many, many Christians, or some Christians coming and telling me, you know, I'm just bored of my Christian journey. This hard-working farmer could have actually given up. He does the same thing almost every day, my friend. And every season is working hard. There are times that, you know, he might not be able to see the harvest if the weather is not been good. But he works hard. He just depends on God. He needs to do what he needs to do. And at the end of the day, you know, he waits patiently for God to bless him. It's self-sacrificing. Right? He needs to endure. How are we today, my friend? Are we like a farmer who works hard, who's not bored, who doesn't see a Christian life as like a mundane kind of a thing, but he does with joy, with excitement, because someday I'm going to see the harvest. Someday I'm going to see the fruits of my labor. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but the Lord will reward me. Conclusion, Paul writes in verse 7, he says, reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight. He says, Timothy, reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight. I believe, you know, Timothy was spending time reading this letter again and again, digesting what Paul has written, and looking for insights, and looking for lessons. Because he wanted to be like this great apostle, was a great example. He wanted to be like the Lord Jesus Christ too. Dear friends, I think today we are reminded that God's grace is available. Are we serving in God's grace? What are we doing with the talents or the gifts or the abilities that God has given to us? Are we working hard for God? Are we like a good soldier, willing to face any challenge, ridiculed or sufferings, just for the sake of the gospel? And like the athlete who wants to win. I want to win this for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to extend God's kingdom. I want God's love to be shared. God's grace to be experienced by many. Let me conclude by sharing a story that took place in the life of David Livingstone. David Livingstone was a very pioneer missionary to Africa. And one day he received a letter saying, let me quote, it was saying, you know, have you found a good road to where you are? If so, we want to know how to send other men to join you. So this group of people wanted to know whether, you know, there was a good road to where Livingstone was living or ministering in Africa. If so, they said, we want to know how to send other men to join you. Very interestingly, David Livingstone replied. He says, if you have men who will come only if there is good road, I do not want them. I want those who will come if there is no road at all. If there is no road at all, I want such people to come. A person does not become a good soldier, right? A successful athlete or a productive farmer automatically. To be success, to be faithful in our ministry, there's a lot of discipline involved. There is hard work involved. There is loyalty involved. There is single-mindedness involved. And thank God, God's grace is there for us to win. So let's pray, my friend. The Lord says, you know, my grace is available. And I want to strengthen each and every one of you. That's what God says. But whether we want to, are we willing to say, Lord, I want to be a good soldier. I want to win for Jesus Christ. It might be painful, but I want to stand for Jesus. I want to run the race as an athlete, Lord. I don't want to give up my Christian life. But I want to be faithful. I want to abide by what you say. And I want to be a hard-working farmer. Sometimes Christian life might look like a mundane stunt, but I'll still continue. As I know, in His own time, in His own way, God rewards. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this beautiful letter that this apostle wrote to this young man. It's also for us, O God. And thank You, Lord, for reminding us that Your grace is available, that Your favor is always available, O God. And help us to live a life for Jesus and for Jesus alone. We love You, Jesus. We love You, God. In Jesus' most wonderful name we pray.